Again, Heavenly Father, we are thankful to be in this place, to know the presence of your Spirit here among us. And we pray, oh God, that you would let loose the power of your Spirit this time. We know it's only by the power of your Spirit that I can speak, and by the power of your Spirit that we can hear. Only by the power of your Holy Spirit that we be transformed. And so we pray, come, Holy Spirit, come. Amen. Do you want a life that yields good results? You want a life that yields good? Life that's deeply meaningful? One that brings peace and joy and hope into the world? If so, I think Jesus gives us some ways to make that happen in today's story. Ways our life can be filled with the abundance of meaning and significance. Not necessarily in the way that the world would measure it, but certainly in the way that God would give it to us. Now, the essence of this lesson can be found in three things. Three keys to living a life that yields an abundance of good. And I'm going to give you all three right up front. So that way you don't have to miss them or worry that you can get them. You can write them all down. That doesn't mean you can stop listening, okay? You still got to listen. But I'll give you the three keys right up front. You ready? Show up. Listen up and act out. That's the three keys. Show up, listen up, and act out. We're going to take a closer look at those in just a minute. But I think first we need to look at an underlying thread that runs through each of these, a biblical principle that kind of undergirds all three of these keys. And it comes from a part of the story that fits a category that I had never thought about until last week. Right? So on our last Sunday with us, Pastor Madison talked about a category of biblical stories that she keeps in her head. She says she keeps a mental list of stories where Jesus looks like a jerk, right? Which is an interesting category. I had never thought about that, but when she said it, I began to make a list of stories in my head. Oh, yeah, that one fits. Oh, that one probably fits, right? Today's story was not on my list, but it could be. I mean, there's one part that sounds a bit jerkish. It sounds un-Jesus-like to me. Verse 25. To those who have much, more will be given. But to those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. Really? The rich get richer? Those who have basically nothing will have their little taken away? It doesn't sound like nice Jesus, right? It sounds a bit mean and jerky and unfair. Right? That is until you realize that the lesson here is tied to the lesson right before it in chapter 4. Of Mark. If we go back to the beginning of chapter 4, we find the parable of the seeds and the soil. Now, there's lots of this parable that we don't have time to get into today, but I'm going to try and give you a quick synopsis of this parable. The gist of the story is the farmer goes out to sow seed, to plant his crops. And he scatters the seeds, and as he does, it falls on four different types of soil. And the last one, the fertile soil, is the only one that produces a crop. It produces a crop of an abundant harvest. So the first soil was the path itself. It was too hard to take the seed, and the seed just laid there, so the birds came and quickly snatched away the seed and just took it. The second soil is rocky ground. The seed begins to grow, but it can't take root, and the sun comes out and just burns it up. The third part of ground is soft enough to take the seed, and it begins to grow, but the weeds are there as well. They grow up with the plant. They choke it out before it can ever begin to bear a crop. Again, as I said, the last one is the fertile soil that allows the seed to grow and produces a great harvest. And so Jesus tells the parable, and then he goes on to explain the parable. And he says that the seed is God's word for us, God's instructions and God's guidance and God's truth. And our receptiveness to God's truth and God's guidance determines the abundance that our life will yield. So if we read today's lesson in light of that parable and explanation, we realize Jesus is not saying that the rich get richer, like God's going to give them more because they already have so much. He was saying those who give themselves to this life with God will find more of that life with God. Those who choose to give the little or nothing to this life may find some goodness and peace and joy at some point, but it will be fleeting and could be easily taken away. Those who have very little, what they have may be taken away. Jesus says the measure by which you give yourself to this life is the measure by which you will receive the life God has for you. The measure by which you give yourself to this life with God is the measure by which you will receive the life that God has for you. Think of it this way. The faith you live determines the life you find. Pretty simple, right? That doesn't sound like some truth that you hadn't heard before that you wouldn't think of. The faith you live determines the life you find. If you only give a small amount of yourself, a small amount of your effort and energy, then just be aware. You may find some blessing in this life with God, but it may be easily taken away. It may not last very long for you to experience the blessings of joy and hope and peace and grace. But if you bring much of yourself, if you give much of yourself to this life, then what your life becomes will be much more than you can ask for or imagine. For those who have much and bring much to this life with Jesus, they will find even more. But those who have little, those who are not really connected, not really engaged in this life, well, what they have, what they find, won't last. The birds will snatch it up. The sun will burn it up, and the weeds will choke it out. And those people will be left wondering why their life is not yielding the good that they want their life to yield. The faith you live determines the life you find. So let's talk about how we live out this faith. Those three keys to a life of great joy and goodness and peace and hope and grace. All right, the first one was show up, right? The way Jesus says this in Mark's gospel today is pay attention. Right? The one thing that we can give to God often, one thing we can bring to this life with God is our attention. We can give God our attention. If you want a life that only God can give you, you have to pay attention. You have to show up if you want to get what God has for you. We already know this to be true in life, right? To show up matters. We know it's true because it's true for our minds and true for our bodies. Showing up makes a difference. I've talked about this a little bit before, but I went to Texas A&M University in 1982. And I failed out of Texas A&M University in 1983. I had a 2.0 my first semester. I had a .667 in my second semester. And I worked way too hard for that .667. I could have had a much easier time. I worked far too hard to get those grades. So they sent me a letter and they said, you can go to summer school and raise your GPA or just not come back. So I didn't go back. I worked in the Austin area doing different construction jobs and such for about 3.5 years. And at some point I realized, you know, someday if I want to have a family and do some things, I'm never going to be able to do it making this kind of money. So I need to go back to school and get a diploma. So I majored in diploma. And I went back to Texas A&M in January of 1987. And the first week of class, I met Jean, my one someday be wife. It would be 2 years, 2.5 years after that we would get married. But God knew what I could do by myself, so he let Jan come into my life and help me out along the way. But here's the bigger thing that happened when I went back. I discovered that if you go to class and you read the material, it's not that hard to make a decent grade. I discovered that if you show up, it makes a big difference. Showing up makes all the difference. Now, if you're a person who works out and wants to be healthy, wants to be fit, you know this as well. I mean, the first key to making that happen is showing up at the gym or showing up at the refrigerator, getting the right food out of there to prepare and have a healthy meal. You can't go to the gym like every so often and eat well, like, you know, once or twice a week, a couple of meals you eat healthy. You can't do all that and reach your goals. You have to show up on a regular basis in order for you to achieve your goals you have for your body, for your physical health. And what's true for our minds and our bodies is true for our soul as well. If we want our life, the very core of our being, to yield the goodness and peace and joy that God has for us and God can give us, we have to show up where God is. We have to show up where God is. We have to give God our attention. So where is God? Well, God is everywhere, right? It's true. God is everywhere. That's why people say they can find God in nature or on the golf course as easy as they can in the church. Yes, God is everywhere. But God is uniquely present in the person of Jesus Christ. God is uniquely present in the person of Jesus Christ. He is the exact image of the Heavenly Father. Through Him, we have a personal connection to God. He is uniquely God. We are present with God uniquely through Jesus Christ. We encounter God in a more personal way through Jesus. The question then is, how do we encounter Jesus today? The disciples back in the time where Mark's telling the story were there with Jesus. He was physically with them all the time. So how do we encounter Jesus now? Well, Jesus gave us the answer in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 18. Where two or three are gathered in my name, he said, there I am. Where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in their midst. Which means that God is most uniquely present to us as we gather together as believers. God is most uniquely present to us when we gather together as believers. Worship, small groups, Bible studies, mission projects. All those are times when we gather together in Jesus' name. Can you experience God in nature and on the golf course? Absolutely. But God is most fully and uniquely present to us when we gather in Jesus' name. Am I saying that you have to go to church every week and not just every so often to be a good Christian? Am I saying you have to go to church every week and not just every so often in order for God to love you? No, I'm not. I am, however, saying to you and to me, if we want a life that yields much good, much love, much joy, much peace, then we've got to show up. We've got to give God our attention. It's the same thing as showing up for school or for work or at the gym. You can't find the results you want or achieve the things you want to achieve if you don't show up. Number one, to find the life that God has for you, show up. The second key, listen up. I'll tell you, if finding this life that God has for us was just about being here, I'd be in great shape. I'm here every Sunday. I go to two worship services every Sunday. I'd be in great shape. I am present all the time in worship. So if that were the bar, I'd be golden. But here's the truth. Just because I'm here doesn't mean I'm listening. I've told you this before. I preach to me and you get to listen, right? So I may not be listening to what God has to say in me, through me, to you, whatever it might be. Just because I'm here doesn't mean I'm listening. Again, I go back to my college example. It wasn't just that I showed up for class, because just sitting in the classroom wasn't going to make it happen, right? My grades got better because I sat on the front row of the class most times, because I didn't want to have the distractions of people in front of me. And I sat on that front row and I listened and I took notes and I reviewed those notes. I did those things. But I listened actively to what was going on. That made the difference. I listened up. How about this? Have you ever been at the dinner table or at a table in the restaurant and half the people or more are on their phones while you're there? Around that table, right? They're there at the table, but were they really all there? Were they present and listening to what was being said by the people around the table, or were they somewhere else? And by the way, I'm not just talking about young people. We older folks are getting just as bad as the others. We get on these devices, and we just got to be there. Phone rings, got to answer, got to text, got to look at it, got to get on that phone. And even at the table, at the dinner table, at the restaurant table, whatever it is, we're just as bad. And it's nothing new, really. It's not technology's fault. It's nothing new. I remember going down to the breakfast table, and my dad was buried in the newspaper. You weren't going to really have much of a conversation with my dad, because there he is behind the newspaper. It's okay to read the newspaper. But the fact is, if you're there at the table, the relationship is not growing when somebody is behind the newspaper and you're not having any kind of contact or conversation. So it's not just technology. The point is, if we want to find the life that God has for us, we have to show up and we have to listen up, right? We have to pay attention, be engaged in the relationship. For our lives to yield goodness and peace and joy, we need a healthy relationship with God. And a healthy relationship means showing up and listening up. Which is why Jesus says, let those who have ears listen. Let those who have ears hear what is being said. We have to show up and we have to listen up. And the measure by which we do those things, the measure by which we show up, how often we are willing to show up, the measure by which we listen up and pay attention will determine the measure by which we our lives are impacted by what God has for us. The measure by which we show up and listen up will determine the measure by which our lives are impacted. The faith we live will determine the life we find. And that leads us to the final key, acting out. Show up, listen up, and act out. Now, I don't mean act a fool or create a ruckus, not that kind of acting up. What I mean is to boldly live out our life as a follower of Jesus. Let it be obvious to others who you are and whose you are. Let the people so see your light that they give glory to your Father in heaven. Right, this is what Jesus says at the beginning of today's passage. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket, do they? Or under a bed? Don't they put it on a lampstand? Our life is that lamp. That's what he's trying to tell us. In other places he says, you are the light of the world. Your life is not meant to be hidden. It is meant to be seen. How we live our life impacts the life we find. How we live our life boldly for Jesus Christ impacts the life we find. The measure by which we live out our faith is the measure by which we will find the goodness and joy and peace of God in our lives. So how do we boldly live out our faith? Curiously, I was inspired to think about this a little bit more by an article I read just this past week as I was going through work on this message. This story came across about a young man who is on the Aggie football team. Yeah, sorry, Longhorns, yes, I'm going to talk about the Aggies again. But it was just an article that came across my feed. He had grown up never playing organized football. Never was on a football team before. But he decided he wanted to try out for the Aggie football team. So he went over to the practice field and he saw what they were doing in their drills and how they were working out. And he found a little piece of land, a little patch of grass outside the practice field. And he began to work out there. As much as he could, kind of following what they were doing as much as he could. And over time, he got to know some of the coaches and some of the players. And eventually, he was invited to try out. And he made the team. And he's now on the scout team as a wide receiver. Now, what's so special about this guy's story? Well, he's also a practicing Orthodox Jew. He's a practicing Orthodox Jew. Do you know what that means? That means that he's very attentive to the laws, the dietary laws and things like that, and the Sabbath laws of the Jewish faith. And so that means that he really can't do much from sundown Friday to sundown Saturday, for that's the Sabbath. Do you know when college football games are played? Typically before sundown on Saturday. So here he is trying out for a football team, and he can't compete from sundown Friday to sundown Saturday. His teammates and his coaches know this and they see this. He wears his kippah, the head covering, underneath his helmet when he plays, when he dresses out. He wears his prayer shawl under his jersey. And his teammates and his coaches, they see this. They know that. That's pretty bold living. That's pretty boldly living out your faith. So I began to think, what's the equivalent for us as followers of Jesus? How can we boldly live out our faith? I mean, for us, it's not about adhering to any strict dietary laws or dress codes. So what is it? Well, I think it's about the choices we make. All right, go back to that first key, the showing up. How often do we let other people know we can't be at a function or at a game or at an event because we're going to be in worship and worship's important to us. How often do you say, I'm sorry, I can't be there at that time. I've got to be in worship. It's important to me, but I'll be there as soon as I can afterwards. When we're on vacation, do we say to our family and our friends, well, it's Saturday, I found a church nearby for tomorrow morning, and so I'm going to be going to worship tomorrow morning, even though we're on vacation, because worship's important to me. That's where I most uniquely encounter the presence of God is among God's people, so I want to be in worship. You're welcome to come with me, but know that I can't do anything in regard to the plans until worship is over. How often is worship such a priority for us that we have to tell people we can't do that thing because we're doing this thing that's so important to us? The measure we use will be the measure by which we get. But it's not just about that. I mean, boldly living out our faith means things like turning the other cheek. It means when somebody wrongs us that we don't try and get revenge, or we don't try and talk bad about them to other people. We just let it go, and if they're going to hit us again, they hit us again, but we're not going to get into it. We're going to turn the other cheek, and people are going to see us not defending ourselves. But it's a way of boldly living out our faith. It means that we explicitly and boldly bless people on the other side of the political aisle. It means we don't talk bad about them. We don't curse them. We pray for them. And we bless them as we pray for them. We don't pray for them, dear God, get them on the right track or whatever it might be. No, you bless them. Dear God, bless them. I want them to have things that are good. I want their life to be good and right. We pray for them. Right? Bless them, not curse them. That's boldly living out our faith. It means being willing to quickly forgive those who hurt you. Again, you can show people so much when you do this. I think it was a comedian I was watching a video of that was talking about the power of forgiveness and just how amazing it is to watch people forgive. He talked about a news story where there's a family that had some tragic situation where a person in their family was killed. I don't know if it was a gunfire or a car accident, what it might be. But he said those people very quickly had the strength to forgive the one who did that to their loved one. And it was a powerful thing to see how they would forgive and what that meant to them and how it changed their demeanor. That's boldly living out our faith. It could be as simple as praying for someone in the frozen food aisle at H-E-B. How often do we talk to someone and we say, oh, I'll pray for you. And maybe we do. But what if, instead of saying, I will pray for you, say, can I pray for you? And you put a hand on their shoulder and you say a quick prayer right there in the frozen food aisle of H-E-B. And you boldly live out your faith. And it is seen by others. Your lamp is up on the lampstand. Your light is shining brightly in that place. Acting out our faith is a key part of finding the life that God has for us. It's a key part of finding this life of goodness and peace and hope. The measure by which we boldly live will be the measure by which we find the abundant life. Show up. Listen up. Act out. Because the faith you live determines the life you find. Amen and amen.